essence of Ribhugita. To Shiva, salutations to the Supreme Lord Shiva, the pure awareness in the sky of consciousness in the heart, by meditation on whom Ganesha, Guha, Mother Sakti, who is the embodiment of Shiva's grace and myriads of devas, saints and devotees, have attained their cherished goals.
2. Nataraja.
From the sky of consciousness of the heart springs forth the dancer,
Nataraja,
with his blissful consorts of freedom, to the delectations of his devotees, who are thus liberated forever. Onto that
Ananda and Natesha
do we render our devout salutations. 3. Unto that form whose left half is the mother of all manifestations, and whose right half is the father of the same, the jingle of the gems enclosed within the hollow golden anklet, of whose foot is the source of all scriptures, and whose three eyes, fire, sun, and moon, are illuminated from the universe, to that the form of our devout salutations. May that divine form be ever in our protection. 2. To Shiva, Sakti, Vinayaka, and Shambhuka. 4. Salutations to Shiva, the Lord of the Universe of the Infinite Power. To Sat, Chit,
Ananda,
Sakti, the Mother of the Universe. To Vinayaka, the dispeller of all impediments to freedom. To Shambhuka, the Satguru, who dispenses his worthy devotees the wisdom of the Shiva Self, leading to salvation. 5. The universe was neither born, nor maintained, nor dissolved. This is the plain truth. The basic screen of pure being awareness, stillness devoid of all moving, shadow pictures of name and form of the universe, is the sole eternal existence. 6. Some may argue that this universe of duality, multiple existences, is the factual second reality, clearly seen by the senses operated by the mind. But then, are the senses anything apart from the mind? Can they function without the support of the mind in which they are embedded? What is this mind except a bundle of thoughts? What are the thoughts except evanescent ripples in the still, limitless ocean of pure being, self-awareness, which is the sole existence without a second? 7. The existence of the illusion of a silver in the mother of pearl is not a reality apart from the reality of the mother of pearl, which is the basic reality. The illusion of the universe is based on the mind, which again is an illusion based on the still awareness, being self. 8. In the unitary, undifferentiated, still ocean of existence, awareness, self, body, senses, mind, intellect, and jivas, embodied souls, are nothing but evanescent ripples not apart from that soul self. 9. The universe of name and form, the embodiment of creatures and their creator, mind, desire, karma, misery, everything other than the self, are merely thought formations projected by the powers of the self on its screen. 10. The state of firm abidance in that thought-free, alert awareness self constitutes integral perfection, yoga, wisdom, moksha, the state of Shiva and the state of Atman Self, which scriptures proclaim by the title of Brahman. 11. There never was a mind, nor any of its countless forms, like world. There isn't the least doubt that all these are the form of the eternally indifferentiable Supreme Brahman himself. This is the truth. The one who hears this great secret diligently and understands completely abides as Brahman himself. Greatness of Videha Mukta. 12. With all objective knowledge banished, with no trace of thought or nascence, with all the three states of waking, dream, and sleep wiped out, with all thoughts of death and birth abolished, and ever established in the spontaneous blissful state of Brahman himself, the condition of Videha Mukta cannot be conceived, and much less expressed in words. 13. The continued repetition of I am Self Brahman constitutes the soul leading to the mukti, liberation. All others connected with the diverse gods should be firmly eschewed, as they just aim at mundane objects other than the self. All other mantra japas always entangle one inextricably in the bondage of the worldly enjoyments. Sat, Chit,
Ananda,
Self Shiva, and his worship. Fourteen. On the eternal and infinite screen of Sat, Chit,
Ananda,
Self Shiva, by his own power, Sakti is projected as the moving shadow picture of the universe in manifestation, and into that it is again absorbed into dissolution. All luminaries like the sun, moon, fire, stars, and lightning derive their luminosity as a gracious gift from the Sakti inherent in that screen of Self-Shiva only. Through brighten themselves, they can only obscure and cannot reveal the Shiva screen which they cover up. Out of the fear of that Shiva, their creator, devas and asuras, gods and demons, are ever alertly engaged in their ordained duties. That Shiva must be meditated upon and realized to be the self by making the restless mind stay still and alert after it has been adequately restrained and completely prevented from the pursuit of sense objects, namely the shadow pictures on the screen of the self. All shadow pictures removed, what remains is pure awareness, the spotlessly engulfed screen. Thus, Shiva reveals himself spontaneously as the sole eternal Sat, Chit,
Ananda,
the various essence of the nature of the worshipper. Jivan Mukta. 15. The Jivan Mukta is a person liberated during his lifetime, who continues to have a consciousness of the body and the world, along with his firm abidance in his Shiva self. He has ever abided in the blissful peace of Sat Chit
Ananda.
He is poised, rock firm in the conviction that he is not the body, and that the being of the soul existence, the soul alert awareness, bliss of the Shiva self supreme. 16. Jivan Mukta has his consciousness completely dissolved beyond the recognition of his Brahman self. Eternally alone in his self, he is ever lost in the enjoyment of the bliss of the Brahman self. The Videha Mukta. 17. The Videha Mukta, disembodied, liberated person, is free from the least trace of thought. He abides all alone in his effulgent pure awareness. Self in intense unbroken bliss, totally oblivious of limitless forms, in a state of Mahamurnam, stillness of body, speech, and mind. 18. He is the pure embodiment of Sat Chit
Ananda,
all-pervasive as ether, infinite as the sky, all alert with awareness, spontaneously abiding as the perfect Brahm himself, in a state of still unbroken, peaceful bliss. 19. There is not an atom apart from the self, which is the integral, undifferentiated perfection of whole being. Soul, world, and creators are inseparable from the self. The reality of these is the reality of the self only. 20. All ignorance and illusion, all objects inert and living, all beings, non-beings, all the five elements, and all the diverse worlds, all bodies, and the lives that arise in them, not being apart from the Brahm himself, are Brahm himself only. Existence alone is, for even non-existence acquires meaning only in the existence. Simply put, everything exists always as Brahm himself only. 21. All objective knowledge, all thought forms, all visible objects, all things heard, all questions and answers, all the food consumed, and all the other illusions, not being apart from the self, should be regarded as Brahm himself only. 22. Therefore, only one should praise practice at the habit of regarding everything as Brahm himself only. Until all thoughts of things other than the self is lost, this condition, once achieved, one should not give room for any thought, should ever abide in peace of total stillness. 23. Anything seen other than the Brahm himself is bound to cause fear and trouble. Therefore, it behoves to stick to the single attitude that everything sensed is Brahm himself alone. In the due course, even this one thought must be given up in order to abide firmly in the free, undisturbed, blissful state of the soul Brahm himself. 24. The total discarding of the mind is alone victory, achievement, bliss, yoga, wisdom, and liberation. The sacrifice of the mind is, in fact, the totality of all sacred sacrifices. 25. The firm denial of the existence of the mind and the firm belief in the existence of Brahm himself is the sure way to the conquest of the mind, leading to the experiences of the soul effulgence of the self. 26. If one gives the slightest room for the thought that the mind exists, pure awareness itself will vibrate as the ruffled mind, which is the parent of all trouble and illusions. Therefore, one should ever abide in the conviction that there is no mind, and that the pure awareness self is the whole soul existence. This is the easy way to conquer the mind with all its waggeries. 27. There is no such thing as the troublesome mind, no world of names and forms, not the least bit of ego. All these are nothing but the perfect Brahm himself, which I am. In this conviction, one should abide firmly until one achieves the state of sleepless sleep, which is alert, peace eternal. The true samadhi. 28. To hold on to the conviction born of self-inquiry, that I am no doubt the screen, Brahman's self, and the world picture thereon, through evanescent, is no doubt I am self only. And to abide still and blissful in that conviction is the acme of the samadhi, like divine worship, charitable gifts, spiritual austerities, mantra japa, and samadhi as well. 29. The self alone is the spontaneous, self-effulgent awareness. That alone is eternal bliss. That alone is existence everlasting. That alone is the embracing perfection, the sole Godhead without a rival, and the sole primordial stuff of the universe. In the conviction born of this experience, one should be able to abide as the soul, I am the Supreme Self.
Sahaja Samadhi.
30. Remaining alertly aware and thought-free, with a still mind devoid of differentiation of the self and non-self, even while being engaged in the activities of worldly life, is the state, the natural state, of abidance in the self when all differentiation has ceased. This is the I of infinite perfection, as contrasted with the I am the body, notion of those who have not realized the self. Maturing in Sahaja Samadhi. 31. Abidance in
Sahaja Samadhi
is the hallmark of a Jivan Mukta. With the progressive development towards this state, an intensity of blissful peace is attained, leading to the four successive stages of perfection in Samadhi. Nothing short of this Sahaja Samadhi will be any avail in destroying the fearsome cycle of births and deaths. 32. That realized person who abides in the Brahman self has lost all feelings of differentiation of the self and non-self is the Jnani Mukta Purusha. Such a Jnani is rare to find, even by searching among millions of people. If one has the lucky opportunity of getting his darshan, personal view and contact, one attains purification from all his sins. And what is more, such a person's ego gets liquidated at once. 33. Darshan of a mature jnani constitutes the acme of purification, of baths taken in sacred waters, divine worship, spiritual austerities, charitable acts, and devotional worship of Lord Shiva himself. To find and gain access to the sacred presence of Sakchanyani is the luckiest of opportunities that one could ever obtain in this world. 34. Worshipful service rendered unto Sakchanyani Sathaguru quickens one's spiritual wisdom to attain the bliss of Jivan Mukti. If continued further, it bestows upon the disciple even the status Videha Mukti. Therefore, if one is keen on being released from bondage into the freedom of Mukti, the one infallible means of achieving that aim is the loving and worshipful service of the Jnani Satguru. 35. Firmly established in the self, undisturbed by the least ripple of thought, as still as an idol of stone or wood, dissolved completely in the Brahman self, even as water is in the milk, with awareness devoid of all impurities, of thought and drowsiness, standing clear as the pure sky, the grandeur of Jnani Nishtha, firm stance in the self, defies thought and expression. The sine qua non of Mukti is Shiva's grace. 36. That in is which the whole universe is born, and into which it is absorbed in the dissolution, is the self-self. Devoted worship and of meditation on that Shiva self of pure consciousness alone will attract Shiva's grace, which is indispensable for all liberation. 37. Those engaged in the pursuit of knowledge of the Brahman self, happening to get involved in the mundane pleasures of sex, should regard such pleasures as merely faint shadows of the bliss of the self. They should never even dream of worldly pleasures. 38. As the self is sat, meditative contact with the self is the true sat sangha. As the Brahman self is the highest association with the self, is the highest association. 39. The sadhaka practicing meditation on the self should always think firmly that all diversities of the soul, world, and creator are the undifferent Brahman self only. By practice, his consciousness is freed from thoughts, after which he should give up the above thought also and abide always in the thought-free state of the self. 40. Abidance in the self of thought-free alert awareness is the state of mukti, beyond thought and expression. The emergence of thought is the bondage of untold suffering. Abidance in the self is the true non-dual samadhi, and that alone leads one to the eternal bliss of mukti. 41. The great illusions, maya, associated with God Ishvara, avidya, associated with the individual souls, mind and jivas, souls, world and its creators, all names and forms, and all mental conceptions are nothing but the self. One should ever abide this conviction. 42. All worlds and creatures are only thought forms. They are nothing but the mind, which is a bundle of thoughts, which again are nothing more than the ripples in the still ocean of awareness and self, and certainly nothing apart from the self. Therefore, one should abide in the firm conviction that all objects are only I am self Brahman. 43. There are no such things as achieved objects and the efforts at leading to them. Association with the wise or the ignorant, efforts of learning and knowledge, acquired acts of inquiry and practice, the learner or the learned, and any goals achieved. What exists is only Brahman, the effulgent awareness. 44. One should be firm in the conviction that there are no charitable acts, sacred waters or kshatriyas, no loss or gain, or no loser or gainer, no karma, bhakti, and wisdom, and no knower or known. All these thought forms are bound to be dissolved and lost in the Brahman self, which is the sole existence. 45. I am Brahman self swiftly takes one to mukti, as the continued reading of the text generated that bhavana takes the aspirant unerringly to the goal. He should always dwell on the written words dealing with the Brahman self. 46. The illusion that one is the body and that the world is the basic reality has remained soaked over a long, long time, and cannot be rid of by the usual greeting and mere understanding of the truth. The basic illusion can be effaced only by a long, practice of
bhavana
that all this is, I am Brahman Self. 47. Everything is only a concoction of time, space, and energy. All else is the trite talk of people who dislike the effort of
sadhanas,
which takes them to the self. This talk is based on their dense ignorance of the self. Only by persistent practice and experience of the
sadhanas
can one arrive at the truth that all concepts of souls, worlds, and the cause thereof are just evanescent shadows on the screen of Shiva Self Brahman. 48. There is never such a thing as conception of names and forms. No such thing as the conceiving mind. No such thing as a person lost in the world. And no such things as the world and its creator. Everything that is seen to exist must be realized to be no other than the soul, pure awareness of being Brahman Self. Everything is Sat, Chit,
Ananda
only. 49. Whatever is found to exist is existence only. Whatever is pleasurable is bliss only. One should ever abide in the bedrock
bhavana
of Sat, Chit,
Ananda.
Never for once should one slip, even inadvertently, into the disastrous
bhavana
that is one is body, and that the world is real. 50. One should abide in the rock-firm
bhavana
that is everything is Brahman Self only, and I am Brahman Self. By this
bhavana,
all thought movements and nuisances will disappear, resulting in the eternal abidance of the soul, Sat Chit
Ananda.
51. By abiding in the self, the wandering mind is reduced to perfect stillness after being freed from all nuisance and through currents. It gets lost in the Sat Chit Ananda self in the same way that the water is lost when mixed with milk. This unitary state of abidance in the self is called Atma Nishtha by the wise who have attained perfection. The natural state. 52. Having realized that the world picture on the screen self is evanescent and essentially non-existent, one should ever remain still and blissful in the firm conviction of ever being the sole Brahman Self only. This conviction should be maintained even while functioning as an individual in the world of name and form. This matured state of abidance in the self is called the natural state. 53. In that blissful self wherein there is no action of body, speech, and mind, no virtuous or sinful karma, and the fruits thereof, one should remain still. The least trace of thought should all disappear. 54. In that self wherein there is neither conceiver nor conception of the world of names and forms, one should remain blissfully still, eschewing the least trace of thought. 55. In that self wherein desire, anger, confusion, bigotry, and envy are all absent, in that self wherein there is no thought of bondage or release, one should abide blissfully still, eschewing the least ripple of thought. 56. Firmly abiding in the self, one acquires the totality of all knowledge and achieves the successful completion of all endeavors and duties. In that state, one should abide blissfully and still, eschewing the least ripple of thought. 57. Mind merged completely in the self, one becomes a lord without a rival, steeped in bliss beyond compare. In that state, one should abide still, free from the least trace of thought. 58. I am that self, which is integral existence, awareness, bliss, the sole impertite Brahman self, firm in conviction, born of this experience. One should abide still, free from the least trace of thought. 59. In the conviction that I am the self, in which no thought, ego, desire, mind, or confusion can exist, one should abide still, free from trace of thought. 60. The firm faith of being the self is sufficient to dispel all thoughts and establish one in Brahman self. In due course of this practice, even the thought involved in the faith fades away, leading to the spontaneous effulgence of the self. If a person hearkens to this teaching and practices the faith, even if he is a great sinner, he is washed clean of all of his sins and is established in Brahman self. 61. There is certainly no such thing as the mind with its constituents of thought, thought forms of objects. In this conviction, one should ever abide still at peace. In this state of thought, free, alert awareness self, which endures after all sadhanas and its vigors, have exhausted themselves in Brahman self. 62. Having gained the experience that there is no creator, no maya, no duality, and no objects at all, and that pure awareness self alone exists, one should ever remain still and peaceful in that state of selfhood. 63. If a person gives heed to the teachings, he would certainly gain the grace of Lord Shiva and attain the state of selfhood, even though he is immersed in the dense darkness of nuisance, which could not be banished by the glare of a million suns. 64. Why waste words? This is the truth in a nutshell. Only those who have earned the grace of our Lord Shiva by long devotional worship will get the rare opportunity of reading the scriptural text, which leads to the bliss of peace everlasting in the Brahman self. 65. Only that jnani who teaches, thou art the thought free, alertly aware, absolutely still, ever blissful, intensely peaceful, unqualified Brahman self, is the true Satguru, and others are not. 66. Unbroken abidance in the state of alert awareness, unruffled by thoughts, is self-realization. This state is easily attainable only for those who have earned the divine grace of Shiva by deep devotion to him, and not only for others. What is stated here is the import in a nutshell of the message of that charming crest jewel of the Vedas known as the Upanishads. 67. Those who give heed to this message and abide in the accordance with it will forthwith obtain mukti. They will not suffer from the least particle of affliction. They will enjoy a bliss far greater than the bliss attained from this and all other worlds. They and their environments will be filled with a plentiful of auspicious events, totally free from all trace of fear. They will never again enter the cycle of births and deaths. They will become the immutable Brahman self. All this, we swear, is the truth beyond doubt by our Lord Shiva. Again and again, we swear that this is the fundamental truth. 68. That state of still, pure, effulgent awareness is moksha, the state beyond compare. Those who maintain an unbroken abidance in that supreme state will never more be touched by suffering or confusion, and will be absolved from all duties. Such duties, if any, will somehow be completed without any violation on their part. They will eternally abide as the soul, supreme self. 69. By the persistent and continued bhavana of I am the Brahman self, all thoughts and feelings of differentiation, of self and non-self, will drop off, and permanent abidance in the Brahman self will be achieved. This bhavana is only possible for those with a keen inquiring mind, intent on knowing the self, and not for those who are indifferent about the self-knowledge. 70. Ignorance and indifference in regard to the inquiry of truth about oneself is the storehouse of nuisance and trouble, blocking the view of the self and creating in a split second all sorts of illusions of harassment and mental worry. Non-inquiry renders bhavana impossible. 71. In short, non-inquiry will steep one forever in the ocean of samsara, earthly suffering. There is no greater enemy for one than non-inquiry. Therefore, this habit must be overcome in order to fix the mind in the bhavana, which leads to the abidance in the self. 72. Inquiry should be made this wise. With the kind of help of the Satguru, one should inquire, who am I? What is this world? What is the reality behind all this? 73. Staying in the company of those engaged in the pursuit and enjoyment of the bliss of the self and respectfully questioning the Satguru Jnani, one should first make oneself clear about the objective to be obtained. This is an important aspect of the inquiry. After thus making sure of the objective, one must firmly abide in that objective of the soul Brahman self, until the self is unmistakably experienced. 74. The conscious introspective concentration of who am I kills all thoughts and destroys the dense darkness of nuisance. It effaces all worry. It illuminates the intellect with the radiance of pure awareness. It wipes out all conceptual confusions. It fixes one in Shiva self. It transforms a host of impending disasters into auspicious events. And lastly, it destroys the ego mind utterly with all its afflictions. 75. Only by those strong-willed persons who make an earnest and persistent self-inquiry will the turbulent mind be controlled and fixed still in the practice a firm bhavana. In due course, all thoughts and nuisances will disappear, yielding place to the effulgent awareness self of mukti. 76. One should relentlessly pursue the self-inquiry until all conceptual forms of creature, world, and creator merge and disappear in the pure thought-free, alert awareness self, enabling ones to abide in that bhavana of experience. I am Brahman self. 77. It is only the mind which appears as the world and bondage. There is no world other than that mind. On inquiry, this mind turns out to be nothing more than a group of ripples, thoughts, in the still pure ocean of pure awareness. I am that Shiva self, only that there is nothing apart from me. One should ever abide in the conviction born of this experience. 78. There is no world apart from the mind. What appears as the world is only the mind. If this mind is investigated, it turns out to be nothing more than a bundle of thoughts based on the primary thought of I am the body, called the ego. If this ego, I, is inquired into and identity searched, it gets swallowed up without a trace of pure awareness being Shiva self. One should maintain this firm bhavana, I am Shiva self, until the state of being Shiva self becomes the spontaneous experience of free from the effort of bhavana. 79. In me, the pure awareness self, the universe is born, maintained, and dissolved as the mind. Therefore, there are no mind and thought forms of objects apart from me, the self. In this firm experience, one should ever abide. 80. One should ever abide as pure Shiva self, by the firm experience that there are no thought forms of creature, world, and creator apart from the mind, which is just an array of ripples in me, the still ocean of pure awareness. And therefore, I am the sole being Shiva self only. 81. Even as the world seen in my dream is not apart from me, only my creation, even so, the world of the waking state is only a creation made by me and seen by me in the medium of my pure awareness self. In this experience, one should firmly abide. 82. The rock-firm conviction of I am the self is the sure mark of firm abidance in the self. Abidance in that conviction under all conditions is true divine worship, meditation on God, incantation of mantras, practice of right conduct in life, contemplation, integral yoga, wisdom of the self, and moksha as well. 83. Whatever appears as maya, creator, creature, mind, world, names, and forms are the pure Brahman self only, and are not apart from that self. 84. Steady abidance in the rock-firm conviction born of the experience of I am the self is the greatest yoga, total dissolution of the mind, true renunciation, true wisdom, and jivan mukti as well. 85. Whatever names and forms are seen by me in my dream are not anything apart from me. Even so, this world seen by me in my waking state is not anything apart from me. The awareness self that I am, the wise one should give up all differentiation of self and non-self, and abide as the pure self only. 86. If this world of the waking state is not evanescent in its nature, whatever is seen in the waking state must be seen during sleep also. Since I, as pure self, exist alone and always, there is no room for thought of non-self world. I, self Brahman, is the only sole existence. 87. No world exists during the absence of the mind, and there is no mind apart from my awareness. So mind and world are nothing apart from the self, and I am ever that soul, existence, awareness, Brahman self. The wise only should abolish all thought of differentiation of mind and non-self. 88. I see neither mind nor world during my sleep. In my dream, there is a mind with its creation. The world. The dream world is falsified in my waking state. But I, self, exist always. Arguing thus, one must give up all differentiation of the self and non-self, and ever abide in the firmly as the thought-free, alert awareness of self-Brahman. 89. All diversities of the world, mind, confusing power of Brahman, wakefulness, dreams, sleep, talk of you and me are evanescent, and yet not apart from the self. Thus wise only should give up all the thought of the self and non-self, and abide as the self only. 90. In the dim light, the illusion of a serpent is seen in a rope, and the serpent is nothing but the rope. Even so, all illusions of non-self exist in the self only. Thus, wise only should give up all thought of self and non-self, and ever abide in the firmly in the peace of the self. 91. In the wisdom of the integral experience, I am the non-dual, motionless, peaceful, bondage-freedom, notion-free, sky of pure awareness, consciousness only. With this experience, one should reject all differentiation of self and non-self, and ever abide firmly in the peace of Brahman self. 92. One should give up all hatha yogic practices, like breath control, all religious dogmas and their diverse sadhanas, and be ever satisfied in simple abidance as the self only. 93. Only those who contemplate on Lord Shiva self, the pure supporting screen of all manifestation, gain the pure experience of Samhadhi. Apart from this devotion to the Lord Shiva, there are no other means of leading to liberation. 94. The non-dual soul being existing in the deep sleep conjures up a world in the dream state. Even so, the shadow world conjured up in the waking state is the work of the power inherent in the one's own Brahman self. Abiding firmly in the experience of pure Brahman self, one finds that the mind and all its confabulations are ever lost forever. 95. One should remain firm in the conviction, I am the self, and reject all thoughts like, I am this body, and this world is real. If one maintains this habit unremittingly, this false belief will drop away, even as the flower held in the hand slips away when one falls into a deep slumber. 96. One is solely responsible for one's own liberation or bondage. Since the choice of destroying the restless mind, or allowing it to roam at large rests with that one only. Therefore, one should conquer the restless mind by steady abidance in the pure thought-free alert awareness self only. The steady abidance is moksha. 97. You are the sole supreme Godhead, the self. There is nothing apart from you. This we declare to be the ultimate truth after a complete analysis of all the scriptures. By the holy feet of Shiva, we swear this to be the truth beyond all doubt. By the feet of the Satguru, we swear again that this is the truth declared by the Upanishads. 98. All charitable gifts, all pilgrimages to sacred places, all sorts of mantra, japa, and worship of the diverse gods must be firmly given up in favor of steady practice of the teachings of this book only. 99. All yogic practices, all philosophic pursuits, all devotional exercises, and all faiths and beliefs should be abandoned. Only one should confine oneself to the practice of the teachings of this book only. 100. By the sole practice of the teachings of this book, all confusion and ignorance will be destroyed. Firm abidance in the self will be the positive result, with the fusion of the wisdom and the peaceful bliss of the self, mukti will be attained. 101. Only when all sins are washed off by the practice of virtues, running through many lives, one gets the rare opportunity of securing this treatise and practicing its tenets. By the feet of Lord Shiva, we declare that only those whose cycle of births and deaths has come to an end with this life will ever get this treatise in their hands and practice its teachings. End of Ribhugita.